As you know, I'm sure, this is the month of October is Pastor Staff Appreciation Month. And I want to personally, and I know I speak for others as well, express my appreciation to our pastor and our staff. Start with Brother Hance. I believe we have one of the finest preachers, not just in the Southern Baptist Convention, but anywhere. And I'm so thankful for him and Julie. She, of course, is his major prayer partner and helper. Behind every good man is a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. And so we commend them both. And I'm grateful for our support staff, too. These folks that work behind the scenes, they're not front stage and center on Sunday, but they're right there working, helping things to move along and to keep the work of the kingdom running smoothly. And I appreciate our other ministerial staff, too. Appreciate Brother James here. This is going to be a corny one now, a groaner, but whenever I think of James, I think about what the circus manager said to his human cannonball. He said, "I hope you never leave. We can't find a man of your caliber." Now, that was a groaner, I admit. We appreciate all of our ministerial staff for sure. I saw Wade Cruz somewhere. Wade, where are you? There, he's right back there in the back. Being a senior citizen, I certainly want to express appreciation for our senior adult pastor. Wade not only does a fine job, but he's always looking to improve. He's working on a theological degree now. Did you know that? He is. And that's great. I commend him for that. I don't want him to overdo it. I don't want him to be like one preacher I heard of who went off and earned a bunch of advanced degrees and came back. And somebody asked one of his members, said, "Well, what do you think of your preacher now that he's gotten all educated, gotten all these degrees?" He said, "Well, he's really something." He said, "Man, he's got all these big words." He said, "Well, when he prays," said, "he asks the Lord for things we didn't even know the Lord had." Whenever I think of degrees, I think of the great Dr. R.G. Lee that was pastor over 30 years of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis before the days of Adrian Rogers. And he was a crusty old soul, if you've ever heard him preach or know anything about Dr. Lee. And a young man asked him one day, he said, "Dr. Lee, how many degrees do you have?" He said, "Depends on what I'm preaching on, son." He said, "If I'm preaching on hell, I'm 110 in the shade." So it just depends. Well, we're glad that you're here tonight, and I appreciate so much the opportunity. It's always a privilege to share the Word of God, and particularly from this pulpit. So I'll invite you to open your Bible tonight to Mark chapter 5. And I'm speaking tonight on the subject, "A Hurting Woman Finds Help." But although the subject of the story is a lady, the fact is that the truths that come into focus in this passage are applicable to men as well as women and also to young people. And so my prayer is that the Lord will speak to each of us at our point of personal need as we look at this passage. This story that is also recorded in Matthew and Luke is an account that reminds us that regardless of how extreme may be a person's predicament or how deep may be a person's pain, how terrible may be a person's discouragement, that individual can find wonderful help in the Lord. And so my prayer is that as we look at the story of this lady, that new hope and encouragement will well up in the heart of every one of us as we deal with whatever issues we're confronting in our lives at this time. I want you to notice with me, first of all, this woman's plight. Verses 25 and 26. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing bettered, but rather worse." This poor woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And in those days, obviously, they didn't know anything about blood transfusions. And so having lost blood for that length of time, she must have been in a tremendously weakened condition. As a matter of fact, it must have taken a monumental effort for just to get where Jesus was. I imagine she practically had to drag herself there. But she was not only in a terrible physical condition, she obviously was deeply distressed emotionally as well. For one thing, of course, because of the toll her disease had taken on her, but for another reason too. According to Levitical law, the nature of her illness was such that she would have been considered ceremonially unclean. So this woman was an outcast. People shunned her. They avoided her. They looked down on her. But Jesus didn't, thank the Lord. Jesus never did look at anybody as a second-class citizen. Jesus reached out to everybody with love and acceptance, and he expects you and me to do the same, doesn't he? And then on top of all that, she was financially destitute. This woman had spent, we just read, everything she had on doctors trying to find a cure for her disease. They not only hadn't helped her, they'd hurt her. I assume none of them had done so intentionally, of course, but their crude treatment methods had only resulted in her condition deteriorating even further. So here was a woman who was hurting deeply. From physical pain, from emotional distress due to her alienation, her hopelessness, and her discouragement. I'm confident that every one of us, at least at times in life, can identify with her, not particularly in her in the details, of course, but in principle, in that all of us have times in life when we're hurt. Some hurts just go on and on. You know, some hurts last a long time. This woman had been suffering 12 years. And there may be somebody under the sound of my voice tonight who is deeply, deeply hurting. It may be known to others, or it may be some very personal and private pain. It could be a health issue. Or it might be that you're in terrible financial straits. Or it could be that somebody here this evening is feeling lonely or unloved, unwanted. Could be that somebody has had the experience of someone you trusted betraying you. Or maybe somebody that you care deeply about is off on a wrong path and you've prayed for them and you've pled till you're blue in the face and they seem absolutely intent on going down that path of self-destruction and it's just tearing you up. Might be that you're dealing with some personal moral failure, maybe known to others, maybe not. You've tried and you've determined and you've just absolutely resolved and yet you keep losing the battle and maybe whatever your problem is, whether it's that or something I haven't named, whatever the issue that you're dealing with, maybe you're to the point that you feel like that there's just no way out. Maybe you feel like that you just can't keep going on. Well, bless your heart, don't throw in the towel because you can find help in the Lord. This woman did. I mean, she was just about to the end of her rope. But when she brought her problem to Jesus, things changed dramatically. Well, we've looked at the woman's plight. Let's look at the woman's healing. Look at verses 27 and 29, if you will. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Notice that she had heard of Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. I don't know who told her about Jesus. The Bible doesn't give us that information. But thank the Lord for this anonymous witness. Whoever told her about Jesus, she took the information seriously and she acted on it and she experienced a miracle in her life. And you and I need to take advantage of opportunities to speak to others about Jesus. You just don't ever know how much impact you're going to have when you tell somebody else about the Savior. Notice verse 27 says that she came in the press behind. Did you notice that? Sort of sneaked around. Somebody suggested that it might be that she was afraid that a ceremonially unclean woman ought not to approach a religious leader. Or some have suggested that she might have feared she'd be rebuked for interrupting Jesus on his mission. But be all of that as it may, one thing is very obvious. This was a very timid woman. And we can learn some valuable lessons from the encounter of this timid woman with the Lord Jesus. For one thing, here's an example of how powerful genuine faith can be, even if accompanied by some peculiar ideas. Now, there was an ancient notion on the part of some people in that day that a person's influence, a person's power, if you will, extended even into the individual's clothes. And apparently this woman held that idea. She said, if I can just touch his clothes. But in spite of that superstitious notion, her faith in Jesus and his power was genuine, and Jesus honored that faith, and he healed her. And of course, as the Bible makes clear, and as we all know from observation, from history, even maybe from personal experience in some cases, it isn't always God's will to heal. Sometimes, for reasons that are beyond us, he allows an illness to continue, even to the point of death. But when he does not choose to heal, he always, and the word that needs to be underlined is always, he always makes available for the claiming special spiritual strength in order to sustain us and to make it possible for us to have victory in spite of the situation. The big question, of course, is how do we access, how do we receive that special spiritual strength to sustain us in hard times? Two things. First of all, we have to ask for it. And we have to ask in the right manner. James said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. We have to ask in the right way, and that includes being sure that we're not harboring unconfessed sin. Psalm 66:18 says, if I have sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we got to ask. And here's the second thing. In order to receive that special spiritual strength, and this is the really hard part, we have to submit our will to his will in spite of any heartache and confusion that we may feel. In other words, we have to bring ourselves to the point that we say, in effect, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but Lord, I do believe that you are the sovereign of health and illness, of life and death, that you are all wise, that you make no mistakes, that all of your dealings with me are in love, even when I can't make any sense of what's going on. I believe that one day you're going to make everything come out like it's supposed to. And Lord, in the meantime, help me to have the faith of that beleaguered old patriarch who cried out in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Corrie ten Boom, a survivor of the Holocaust, said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. And when you and I go through the dark tunnels of life, if you will, the best thing we can do is to remember that God is God. Be still and know that God is God, and that if we'll just cling to him in faith one way or the other, he'll see us through the situation. In the case of this woman, though, it was God's will to heal, and he did so in response to her faith, even though it was a timid faith, which is a reminder to you and me that even if our faith is weak, even if our faith is flawed, we need to use it, because even a little bit of genuine faith can have tremendous results. In fact, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 17, 20. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed to yonder place, and it'll remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That promise assumes, of course, that the mountain in question is a mountain that God wills to have moved. But that being the case, even a little bit of genuine faith can have tremendous results. In fact, we learn in this passage that this woman's faith resulted not only in physical healing, but in something far greater, namely spiritual healing. We looked at the woman's plight. We've looked at the woman's healing. Look with me at the woman's confession. Verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. I'm reading from the King James Version. Your later version, if you have one, probably says power, because the Greek word here is dunamis, from which we get our English term dynamite. It literally means power. Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? They said, Lord, there are people all around. They're pushing, they're shoving, they're just crowding in. And what do you mean, Lord, who touched me? Well, they didn't understand it. But Jesus sensed that in spite of all of the jostling and the shoving and the touching, there was somebody in that crowd that was in desperate need of healing, and for whom healing was God's will there and then. And furthermore, he sensed that that individual was reaching out to him from a believing heart, and he honored that touch of faith, and he healed that individual. Verses 32 and 33, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Apparently, this woman had intended to get her blessing and sneak away undetected. That's even clearer from Luke's account. Luke 8:47, telling about this same incident, said, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So Jesus helped her to see that she needed to share with other people what God had done in her life. And that's somewhat of a miracle in itself. Here was a woman who was just absolutely timid, and yet Jesus emboldened her to tell before that whole crowd of people what God had done in her life. And he'll do the same for us. There are situations, there are circumstances where a lot of times we may feel a bit intimidated, or for some reason we might be hesitant to say all we need to say or to share our faith like we ought to. But if we'll ask the Lord, he'll give us the courage to go ahead and speak out. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, we've looked at the woman's plight. We've looked at the woman's healing, the woman's confession. Look with me at the woman's assurance. Verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. As we noted earlier, this woman had heard of Jesus, the record says. She obviously must have heard not only that he had the power to heal diseases, but also that he had the power to forgive sin and to give newness of life. And I think we can safely read between the lines here, between verse 33 and verse 34. She falls down before him in gratitude for her physical healing, but notice she's still full of inner turmoil. The Bible says she has fear and trembling. But apparently right at this point, between verse 33 and 34, must be when this woman said to herself, if he can do this for me, talking about her physical miracle. If he can do this for me, he must be who he claims he is. He must be the promised Messiah. He must be the one we've been looking for all of these years. He must be the one who can absolutely change an individual's life. And I'm going to trust him to do that for me. I'm going to trust him to remove this inner turmoil and to make me a new person and to lift this burden of guilt. Obviously, she does it right there, because in the next verse, verse 34, he says, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." I don't believe he was saying daughter simply in acknowledgement of her Jewishness. I think he was saying, you're now a child of God. I think he was saying, you now are a member of the spiritual family of God. He said to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The Greek term for made whole in that verse is a term that can be and often is translated saved. In Titus 3:5, where we read, "According to his mercy he saved us," the word for saved, the Greek word for saved in Titus 3:5, is a variant, a different form of the very same word Jesus used here in this statement to this lady. So he said to her, literally, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." That's every person's biggest need until it's met, of course, is to be healed spiritually, because we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And if a person will come and meet those two unalterable conditions set forth in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, then God will wipe the slate clean. He'll forgive that individual. He'll give him a home in heaven. He'll no longer be destined to hell. He'll be a new creature. And in the here and now, he'll have available to him God's resources for deflecting the temptations that Satan sends his way. He'll never be perfect, of course, but as we walk with the Lord day by day, he will, by his grace, enable us to gain an ever-increasing degree of victory over those things that Satan hurls at us. Well, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is to experience the peace that the Lord gives. He said to her, "Go in peace." Remember, she'd come with fear and trembling. Even after the physical miracle, she still had the fear and trembling, and then decided to go ahead and trust the Lord all the way for salvation. And he said to her, "Go in peace. Go in peace." The peace that God gives, of course, is not the absence of trouble or difficulty. We're not exempted from the trials and tribulations of life just because we've trusted the Lord. But the peace that he gives is a deep-seated, divinely implanted sense of well-being that is not dependent upon the ebb and flow of outward circumstances. It is what the Apostle Paul called a peace that passeth all understanding. And even if a person is not healed of their physical difficulties, they can still have that peace, every person, in every case, if they will surrender to the Lord, can have that inner peace. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." That's a given. We don't have any choice about that. In the world you'll have tribulation, but he said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And his point is that if we are trustfully anchored, obediently anchored to him, then we can have that inner peace, even if we're being battered and bruised and bloodied by the storms of life. One of our sons gave us a yard decoration that consists of a wooden pole that you plant in the ground, and on top of it is a little cutout in the shape of a birdhouse. Now, it's not a real birdhouse, just a flat board shaped like a birdhouse. And in the middle of it, there is what appears to be a hole into the birdhouse, but it's just a circle of black paint. And I'd always wondered if this might happen. One day it did. A little old bird, that thing was set up, that little yard decoration in our yard, and a little bird swooped down out of the blue heaven and made a beeline for what he thought was an entrance into that birdhouse. And it was sort of comical, but it was sad. And that little bird's pain and frustration reminded me of a greater and sadder thing, and that is that a lot of people are trying to find entrance into the abundant life by avenues that look real and look appealing but are illusions. They're just circles of black paint, if you will. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. And he said in the next verse, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So let me ask you tonight, are you hurting? If you are, God knows about it. I'll guarantee you He cares about it. And I'll guarantee you on the authority of this word that He's able to help you. One way or the other, He'll help you if you bring it to Him. There could be somebody under the sound of my voice tonight who's hurting from the realization that you've never been saved. You may have some kind of an outward religious affiliation, and yet you know in your heart you've never really come into a personal experience with Christ. You've never been born again. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll change that. He said, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Or it might be that somebody's here who is a Christian and who's gotten off the track, and you're hurting from guilt, knowing that you're not in His will. You don't come as an alien, you come as an erring child to a loving Father and just come clean and say, Lord, I've blown it. I'm asking You to forgive me. And you can claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or maybe you're hurting from something totally unrelated to what I've been talking about. Maybe you've got some other kind of a hurt. You might even be like Carol Mayhall, a lady who wrote a book entitled, Help, Lord, My Whole Life Hurts. I don't know where you're hurting, but I know this. I know God loves you, and I know He doesn't want you to keep hurting by yourself. I know He wants to help you with that hurt. He said in Matthew 11:28, Come unto Me, all ye that labor heavy and are heavy laden. All inclusive. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Songwriter was right on target, wasn't he, when he said His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see it was best for Him to have His way with thee. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for Your word. I want to thank You, Heavenly Father, that You do care about every hurt that can ever come to a human life. And I want to thank You, Lord, that You can help us, whatever the nature of it. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight, as each of us considers our own personal situation, help us to realize that whatever the nature of the hurt, however complex it may be, however intense it may be, that You know all about it, and You're able to help us, and You'll do it if we'll just bring it to You. You'll either remove the problem, or if we turn ourselves totally over to You, You'll give us the grace to have victory in spite of everything. Help us to yield unto You this night, whatever it is that we need to yield. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Brother James is going to lead us in a moment. I don't know what your need is tonight. I know God loves you. And I know that if you need to come on profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that'd be a wonderful thing, and God would receive you. If you are a person who's already a Christian, but you've never made a public profession, never followed Him in baptism, this would be a great time to do that. Might be that you're here and you're a Christian, you're a Baptist and a faithful Baptist, but your membership's somewhere else, and yet you've come to realize this is where God wants you to make your church home. I know from experience you'd be welcomed with open arms. So whatever God would have you to do, that's the invitation. As we stand, please, and as we sing.